All right, guys, welcome to my very first podcast. I'm here in the studio live in the cave with Trey.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
All right, Trey, I wanted to start off with the joke of the day. All right. What's it like drinking Bud Light? Or you know what it's like drinking Bud Light?
No. What's it like?
It's like having sex on a canoe.
Why is that?
Because it's so fucking close to water.
What?
Because it's so fucking close to water. Like, you're fucking close to... Like, you're having sex close to water, but drinking Bud Light is, like, so close to water. You get it?
Yeah, I get it.
No, okay. We'll move on. All right, guys. I want to welcome y'all to my very first episode. We're going to try to get this to be a daily thing. No, not a daily thing. Maybe twice a week. Trey said he promised, actually, on all his kids that he would come in once a week to help me out. Right?
That's right. I'll be here once a week, guys.
All right. Well, yeah. Anyways, Trey, yeah, I'm excited, man. Well, I just found out I'm going to have a baby girl.
Man, congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted a boy, but, you know, I think because I put everything, like, I didn't want to, I told myself it was going to be a boy. I fucking started naming, having names. It's because Tony, he was like, hey, bro, whenever I had my son, I never once thought about it being a girl. I just said straight up, it's going to be a boy and never fucking looked back, right? So I fucking went into the pregnancy with that same intent. It fucked me up big time.
Well, whatever the name was going to be, just put Lynn at the end and you'll be all right.
It was going to be Riker.
Riker Lynn, there you go. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, shit, I'm gonna write that down. That's nice. That's nice. Yeah, so I think we're thinking about Miley Harper.
Miley Harper, that's unique. That's unique. I mean, I've never heard Harper before.
Yeah, I really like Harper. That's my favorite part of the name. I'm not too hot on Miley. And then I fucked up too because I like I said, I was so focused on this baby being a boy that I promised her. I was like, I don't care whatever name you want, if it's a girl, because I was so, I told myself, like, it's gonna be a boy. So I fucked up, you know. So I told her, like, yeah, you know, whatever name you want, I don't care, like, hey, it's fine, babe, we can we'll get through it, right? Whatever name you want. I was fucking wrong, dude. So, but Miley's not bad. Miley Harper, I like the Harper part better.
Yeah, I like that.
So yeah, I'm excited about that.
How much you guys are already buying stuff to get for her and everything?
Well, actually, yesterday we fucking went to Build-A-Bear. We're not buying, like, Pampers and the shit that we shouldn't buy. We went to Build-A-Bear. We bought her a fucking bear. We named it Harper, so.
Yeah, when's the due date?
July 18th, but I'm trying to push it to the 15th because that's my birthday, so I don't know if that's possible.
Hey, that's my daughter's birthday, Arabella's.
The 15th?
Is it July or June?
I don't think it's a...
Don't tell me I forgot my own daughter's birthday.
We'll cut that out.
No, you didn't.
Oh, shit, man. So, yeah. There's, I guess on this podcast, we're going to be talking about everything. And I guess that's going on in the world. Today's, events, right? Current events.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the stuff that mainstream media don't want to talk about.
Like the trannies and stuff like that. Speaking of trannies,
Rana and Cut.
Bro, okay, so, well, I guess with trannies, I was watching this Piers Morgan thing, bro, and he was arguing with this trans, saying that he was saying that he was a unicorn, right? A fairy or leprechaun unicorn. I don't know what the fuck he said.
Right.
And they're saying that, no, you can't, that's not a part of the gender column or whatever, right? Because there's like 100 genders nowadays, right? So you can be whatever the fuck you want to be according to those, like, that little bracket. And he was saying that, well, I'm a two-toed unicorn or something. And then they're the whole trans people society community. Yeah, they were getting pissed. They're like, no, you're just making fun of us. And he's like, how? He's like, if I feel like I'm a unicorn, then why can't I do that? He's like, well, it's not the same. And he's like, well, isn't that the same, like, with y'all? Like, y'all feel like y'all are a guy or a girl or gender X or T or whatever the fuck they want to be called. And it's wild, bro, to think, like, you can't have an opinion on that without, I guess, being, like, talked down to, I guess. Or like, I guess, because no matter what, they're going to come back and tell you, like, well, you don't know what it's like being like this. You know, you don't know what it's like being segregated or being told you can't be this or you can't do that. But I feel like everyone has their own, like, kind of...
Yeah, I think the whole community, LGBTQ community in general, they've kind of separated themselves from everybody else and saying that they can pretty much judge themselves in all aspects as far as what they could and should do and how they should identify themselves. And but then, you know, even further than that, it seems like they want to enforce that upon the whole of society for you to refer to them a certain way and feel about a certain way about them. And it seems like, you know, there's not too much push back against it and stuff. I don't mind, you know, what they do. But I guess I mind to the extent, you know, it's kind of like that saying goes that, how's that saying go? Swing your fist wherever you want to, as long as it doesn't touch the tip of my nose, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way about them. You know, they could pretty much do what they want until it infringes upon my rights. And, you know, I mean, now there's that whole thing where you have to refer to people by their gender mm-hmm. pronoun of choice, and you can't call someone him or her and stuff. And now supposedly it's even going into the educational systems where they're trying to pretty much reteach in certain school districts how to refer to kids, and in certain universities and stuff like that. I know that's how Jordan Peterson, I believe, got famous, the one who recently wrote that book, 12 Rules for Life and Antidote to Chaos. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's not, like you said, like, it's funny, man, because they could, I feel like it's kind of getting out of control, because the people who actually suffer, like, who actually are going through changes and shit like that, and they kind of like the feminists, right? Like, I'm not saying feminists are bad or anything, but it's kind of like, okay, we're watching this video on YouTube, right? This fucking girl was yelling at the fucking postman or the mailman because he stalks her every day. He stalks her every day because he puts letters in her mailbox every day. And then the mailman was like, I'm putting mail in your mail. And he's like, oh yeah, like, why isn't there not a woman, like, carrying the mail and, like, doing all this shit? And then there's another video where she's walking, right? And what's another girl? And she's walking and the guy coughs. And then the lady's like, did you just cough at me? And the guy's like, what? He's like, I coughed in a general direction. And he's like, oh, but if I was a man, would you have done that? And they go fucking crazy, bro. And I feel like all these people, they're trying to be a part of the trend, you know, that has kind of gotten away from the point to where the people are, like, the actual feminists are trying to, like, make it, like, I think it started, well, I'm sure it's been going on forever, right? But I feel like the feminists kind of, just to get females into jobs, right, get them to vote, get them to, like, be who they want to be without being looked at as, like, hey, you're a girl, you can't do that. So, like, how do I explain it, bro? Like, they kind of just overdid it, you know, like that, how do you say it, like, enough's enough, like, they did too much, I guess, to where, like, people see it as a joke. When I think of feminists, I'm like, man, some crazy fucking girl, like, you better not even look at her, because she's gonna come at you with some, like, crazy shit, right? And I feel bad, bro, because the actual feminists who are trying to fucking make the world a better place for the women are not taken seriously anymore, because that's how they kind of, these crazy ass chicks have made it to where that's what it's about, and they'll fucking rally and do all this other shit just to fucking, like, I guess, be a part of the movement, you know? But they're not really with the movement. They're just trying to be going with the trend, I guess, but I don't feel like they believe in it, because it's crazy. How the fuck are you going to tell someone, don't cough at me?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? It's wild, bro. Like, and with the trans, too. Like, I'm not saying it's easy, right? But to be out there and telling people, like, hey, you need to call me this, you need to call me that. Like, what kind of man would go up to another man and be like, hey, you need to call me this? Like, imagine some guy came up to you and be like, hey, Trey, you need to call me papi or daddy, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, I'm going to feel offended and we're going to fucking have problems. And it's like, bro, what the fuck? Like, it is what it is, man. Like, just yes or no. Like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. I don't know, man. And then, like, what do you tell your children, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be scared to even have, like, common... like courtesy or manners, you know, because they don't know what the fuck to say or call him or do, because then they're gonna get fucking shat on. I don't know, man. It's a fucking slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think it all boils down to, and you know, the root cause of it is all that, you know, there's been a big divide amongst the people within this nation, and it seems like there's huge division. And I don't know if you've heard of subjective truth or relativism and objective truth. It's big in the universities as far as what is true. So I mean, subjective truth is the idea that whatever I think to be true is true to me, and whatever you feel like is true to you, and everything is relative, meaning that in any particular situation, you can be right, and in a different situation, I could be right, and there's no really objective truth or objective point of reference. And the kind of like the pioneers of this idea are ones that are trying to pretty much disattach themselves, you know, from the concept of God. And, you know, getting into God and religion, you know, a lot of times the argument can, or the dialogue around that can become cliche, and it can become repetitive. But you really got to think deeply about it. You know, I mean, you don't even really got to talk about God, but as a society, what is going to be your objective point of reference when talking about these things? Like, what is right and wrong? You know, like, how do you weigh that? How do you judge that? You know, and whenever you're the judge of something, there has to be some immovable objective truth or law or common belief within the society that you can point to, that you can say, hey, we're gonna do it like this because we've all agreed that this is to be true. And I feel like that's falling away in our society. Like, nobody really knows. Everybody, the value systems that our grandparents or our parents brought us up in, all of that is being questioned by modern society, whether it's the culture or the universities. All of that is being brought into question. What you grew up to believe as being right and wrong, whether it's from a religion standpoint or whether it's just your personal family values, that's all being brought into question right now in our culture. And especially in the liberal, you know, universities and stuff like that. And for that reason, I believe you have these situations that are coming on right now, you know. And I don't mean to sound like a religious nut, but even if you analyze it from a scientific or a biological perspective, I mean, you would think that these people that are in the LGBT community, you know what I mean? A lot of them, you know, they've abandoned the concept of the idea of God. And if you do that, well, you got to embrace science. You got to embrace evolution. You know, that, I mean, what other choice do you have?
They won't, because then they're gonna go back to them being wrong.
And that's the irony about it, is that if that's what you embrace, I mean, science says that there's only two genders. There's male and female, and now you're coming. I don't really understand it. Maybe if we had a dialogue or a conversation with one of them, and we could keep it civil, that would be interesting, you know. But I just want to, you know, on that note, I want to mention, you know, because one of my cousins, you know, and hopefully we'll bring him on the show soon, he has a master's in kinesiology. He actually wrote a paper, and then while he was in his time at his university, he was working at a gay club on the side, and he started, you know, he comes from a religious background, grew up in a Christian home, and he started, obviously in the university, he started leaning more towards evolutionary theory and things like that, and he became really fully convinced of it. And so he started questioning things, and he ended up writing a book. It's called Did God Create Homosexuality? Understanding Science and Scripture. But I was with him along much of the time that he was writing this book, and I remember when he first told me about it, his stance was like, yeah, Trey, like, man, people are born that way, you know, the science says it. We can see in nature that, you know, certain sheeps, that male sheeps, they'll mate with each other, and dogs, even male dogs sometimes will mate with the male dog, and, you know, and they're just born that way and this and that. And obviously I asked him the question, it was just a question. I said, well, bro, if you're talking about understanding science and scripture, like, what does the scripture say about it? I asked him, you know, like, obviously you got the science. And he's like, well, I haven't really delved into that yet, you know, I haven't looked into that. And it wasn't but maybe a few months to a year later that he came back, and he's like, bro, he was mind blown. So, I mean, what he actually read in scripture really meshed really well with the emerging science that's coming out on the topic. And, I mean, just briefly to speak about it, the emerging science is that there's one called epigenetics. So, I don't know if you've heard of epigenetics, but basically, you know, because they say it's epigenetics is an emerging science. And I'm not too... Obviously, I'm not a scientist and I don't know too much, but what I know in a nutshell is epigenetics is a science that's to say that not only do you have genes, but you have epigenes. And epigenes are kind of like light switches for the light, right? So your main breaker in your house is on. Light is going to all of the house, but you still have the option to turn it on or off, right? Well, that's epigenes. You might have a proclivity to be diabetic because of the lifestyle that, let's say, your parents and your grandparents live, right? So you have you're prone to diabetes, and they could look in your genes and they could tell you that, boy, man, you could get diabetes. You got to watch out, you know. But if you practice a healthy lifestyle and you eat vegetables all day, every day, and you work out and you exercise and you do the right thing, you probably won't get it. Now, what epigenetics says is the chances are that if you and your wife both practice a healthy lifestyle and then you have a child, that child may or may not have that diabetic gene. But if your children do the same thing and then they have children, chances are the great majority of the time they're not going to have that diabetic gene, as opposed to if you practice a bad lifestyle, then they probably will. So that's epigenes. Epigenes says that based on what you do, you can actually change your genetic code for the generations to come. So that's epigenetics. There's also one called
No, I was like, this is why the fuck I brought you here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy. And so what's to say about that? And, you know, LGBTQ, because, you know, you guys might be wondering, hey, Trey, well, you know, what's your point and how is that relevant to you, the whole LGBTQ community? Well, a lot of what they say is, and a lot of the word and the talk around there is that, hey, we're born
it's
this
a
way.
Choice. No, I'm just
yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. They say, hey, we're born this way. And I get that. You know, I get that. But, you know, this is my question that I pose, you know, to the LGBTQ community is that, you know, do you think that your proclivity to that particular sexual orientation, whether it be homosexual or whatever, do you think it's any different than what the heterosexual goes to as far as their desires, even, you know? And you might say, hey, well, what's the difference? I thought you were saying that, you know. Well, no, the way society looks at things, there's certain things wrong for a heterosexual too. And it's proven through the statistics that heterosexuals struggle with certain sexual things too. You know, I think what the divorce rate right now is 50-60%. A lot of people are cheating on their girlfriend. A lot of people are not being faithful within a monogamous relationship, that being a marriage, you know what I mean? I think the statistic is something like 85-90% of guys from the ages of 18 to 35 are addicted to pornography, you know what I mean? And, you know, in the way that we were raised, or at least our parents, our grandparents, that was seen as, you know, in reference to the LGBTQ community, quote unquote, a sin, right? So my thing is like, do you think it's any easier for, you know, for a heterosexual male to, let's say, wean himself from pornography or to quit pornography than it is for a homosexual to stop practicing their lifestyle? And I think what you may find is that there's really not too much difference. There's not too much difference. You know, it's just as hard for someone who's caught up in that type of lifestyle. I think it's hard for them. I believe, and I need to find the article so I could reference it, but I believe they did a study and they said that what happens to the brain activity when a homosexual or whatever person is trying to change is that it's very similar to withdrawal from drugs as far as the brain activity. They struggle with withdrawals, depression, anxiety, and things like that, kind of like just coming off a gene of drugs. But the whole point of that and the epigenetics is that what the science seems to say is that if you do it and you change your lifestyle and for whatever reason you go through that, that it's possible to change. It is possible to change. And then, you know, I don't know, like on the whole, see, because I know somebody that was a homosexual and they wrote a book on it. His name is Josh Jericho. You can actually find this book on Amazon. It's called He Loved Me Enough, but it's a testimony about a guy who was in a homosexual lifestyle for quite some time, and he ended up changing, and now he's married and has a wife. And there's also a website. It's called SuchWereSomeOf You.org, where it's just testimony after and story after story of people.
You don't think it's like a cover? I mean, I've never read it, right? So I'm just,
yeah.
Maybe he just, I feel like you can't not stop being gay, right? Like, or does he talk about that?
Well, you know, I think, and you know, back to comparing it to a heterosexual and their withdrawal from pornography, it's like actually a heterosexual who's not, let's say he hasn't watched porn in a long time, or he kind of took his stopped doing it, or for whatever reason, or changed his life, or whatever. If you ask him, hey, well, you know, you would still like to watch porn, right? Wouldn't you? And I mean, I think the answer was, well, yeah, if it was on in front of my face. I mean, that's why I don't do certain activities and I don't go towards a certain route in order to do a certain thing, you know, kind of like drug addiction, you know. But I don't know, you know. It'd be good to have him on here and have him talk about it. From what I've spoken of with him, you know, he's changed a lot. The way that he used to walk changed. The way that he used to talk changed. You know, he used to have a little bit of a higher pitch of voice, and now it's a little bit deeper, you know?
That's funny that you say that, bro, because I feel like, and of course, I'm not trying to say, like, it's a trend to be gay or something, right? But I feel like, isn't it funny how shit like that happens? Like, when people come out as gay, they got to go, like, they got to have that walk, they got to have that little talk, and they got to, like, have... It's weird, bro, because I don't know, like I said, I don't know, is it a gene that makes you talk like that? Because I feel like a straight guy would be like, hey, what's up? Hey, whatever. And then, like, a gay guy's like, hey, sweetie. Or, like, hey, like, they're a little soft, they're a little bit more soft-spoken, right? And it's just wild, bro, to think about, like, why, how does that happen, you know? Like, it's, I don't know, man, it's wild to think shit like that. Like, I don't know, is it a mental thing? Like, do they tell themselves, like, hey, this is the way I gotta be, because this is the way society's gay guys are, you know?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's when they let's say they're a young person and they're struggling with ideas. Should I or should I not come out of the closet? Am I gonna go this route or not? And maybe they're exuding a little bit of, you know, lack of masculinity. You know, maybe they're not the alpha male in the room or whatever. And so, you know, their school or whatever, maybe they've been called names. Maybe they say, hey, you're gay. Or, I mean, you know how it is. And they know how it is going through that thing. But when they make that choice that I'm going to embrace this label, I feel like society and our modern culture especially kind of reinforces the choice in saying, like, hey, you know, there's an expectation that you're going to talk this way and do that. And I don't think anybody wants to be seen as indecisive or as fake or fraud or two-faced or whatever. No, you're acting it, or you're playing, or you're making a joke. Like, nobody wants to be seen as that. And so, yeah, maybe it's reinforced a little bit by society. And I mean, I think you can, again, refer to science and biology and the way human beings are psychology and nature. I mean, there's been studies on it. I don't know if you saw that study where a guy walks into a room and there's there's a group of people and, like, this buzzer beeps and it's like, and everybody in the room stands up and the guy just looks around at first and he's like, what the heck is everybody standing up for? And then it happens again and the buzzer beeps again, like, and everybody stands up and he's like, damn, like, am I supposed to be standing up too? The third time the buzzer beeps, the guy stands up too and he doesn't even know why he's standing up, you know? So, I mean, there's a very strong, you know, consensus psychology. It's actually, I believe that's what it's called, actually, the psychology of consensus. You actually learn this if you become a salesman and go through in-depth sales training, that there's a very strong psychology that if everybody is doing it, it must be the right thing. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the cord. Yeah, man, that's crazy. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, I guess, yeah, we could go on forever with this shit, man. Because, and then, of course, like people... I don't know, like, there's levels to it, you know? There's people who are cool with it, who don't, like... I mean, they are who they are. Like, why the fuck do you gotta worry about what other people think about you, you know? Like, and it has to be, like, a trend, bro. It has to be, like, oh, the world's out to get us. It's me against you. Like, bro, everyone has, like you said, like, the marriages and shit like that. Everyone has problems, bro. Like, it's just the way the world works, you know? But they kind of want to segregate themselves from that to be like, hey, we're different. But then... Like you said, but then they're not different enough. They don't want to be different. It's wild, man. It's wild. It's crazy. Like, it's never, bro. It's funny too that we're talking about gays, man. Cause have you seen the Aaron Hernandez thing?
The documentary. On
yeah,
Netflix?
Man. It's funny, bro. Cause I like how they eased into that shit. They just like, oh, Aaron Hernandez or whatever, and then the guy's talking, right, his quarterback, and he's like, yeah, I was just one of his many toys or like. That he had her, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, that just threw me up, man, because before he died or whenever the whole Aaron Hernandez thing was going on, I thought he had a gay prison inmate, you know? Like, I thought that's what the fuck they were talking about, him being gay. Like, I thought he just fucking picked the guy and said, hey, you're gonna be my bitch, and we're gonna be fucking, and that's it, you know. And then it got out, and it's like, oh man, this dude's gay, or he was fucking guys, or whatever, right? But I didn't know this whole other fucking backstory, bro. And I felt like that quarterback wanted to be the reason Aaron Hernandez was the way he was because of him. Like, he was like, oh, we had many nights together, and like, he still misses me, and like, all this other shit, bro. Like, I don't know, man. It was fucking crazy the way they just fucking threw it in there. Like, they didn't know how to fucking go, and they're just like, hey, boom. And he's like, I was just one of his many toys. And I was like, what
the fuck? Now, let me ask you a question, because when I was watching the documentary, I came in a little bit late. I didn't hear that first part, but my wife told me about it because she was watching it. So in the first part, I know a quarterback from high school, right? That's what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. A quarterback from high school said that they had some sexual fleeing or whatever when he was in high school?
Yeah. That he was his... They were the quarterback. He was the quarterback and the tight end, and they would sleep over at each other's houses, and that's when it all started. Well, that's what that guy said, the quarterback. Like, they interviewed him, and that's what he said, that it started by them sleeping over at each other's houses, and I guess they started messing with each other, and then that's where he started becoming gay. So, yeah, and then it was sad, bro, the whole Aaron Hernandez story, man. It was crazy, because I'm not saying it's his mom's fault, right? Because first of all, he would, from the way they talked about him, he started out like, Bistro, Massachusetts, Connecticut, that's what it was. I don't know how to say it, but,
Briscoe,
Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Is it Connecticut?
So, yeah.
I think.
It was Connecticut. Okay. It wasn't Massachusetts.
Some shit like that, yeah. Well, I know it was close, right, to Boston, right?
Yeah, Boston.
Boston. The fucking Red Sox. But, yeah, and they were talking about it. Like, this guy would act so, like thuggish and shit, but, like, they said it was a nice city, man. Like, he never had, like, there were never, like, drug problems. Not drugs, but, like, gangster problems or drugs. And they couldn't figure out why the fuck he was like that. But then, I guess whenever he got to college, he would go out. It was kind of like, there was like levels to this shit. Well, I think what was the big part of it, bro, was you saw the part where his mom stepped with his cousin's husband, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that part, bro, imagine your mom fucking at 15, your dad just died, and your mom's sleeping with your cousin's husband, and then you find him like in your bed, or not in your bed, in your dad's bed, like 2 weeks after your dad just died. Like, bro, I think that would fuck with someone, like, especially a 16-year-old boy. Like, he's like, what the fuck, you know? And then he moved out. He was so fucking pissed, bro. He moved out and moved to his aunt's house. And I'm not saying that's where it probably started, but that's probably where it started, you know? Like, it fucks with somebody bad, bro. Like, oh, man. Like, I was telling Cheryl, like, I think that's where, like, that's why he has that fucking hate towards his mom. And, like, towards the world, like, it's kind of like, fuck you, I'm gonna do my own thing. Like, you did nothing for me. And, yeah, man, it was fucking crazy. And the whole his brain, you saw his brain at the end of the fucking documentary?
What, did they take, like, a scan of it or what?
Yeah, they donated it, actually. His family said that, yeah, it was okay to donate it for science. And they looked at it, bro, his brain was all fucked up, man. But what they said, too, it was because of, because all the hits, it was the CTE, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, he was all fucked up, and that part of the brain, it fucks with your thoughts and your response, your quick response, I guess, to,
was
like...
the medulla oblongata?
Yes, I think that's what it was. Fucking water boy.
No, oh, man, no, I just had to say that real quick, not to make light of the situation, man, it really is a sad... a sad story and a sad situation, but no, I think you have a really good point, and I think you're really on the right trail as far as your hypothesis or analysis on what could have gone wrong in Aaron Rodgers' life, you know, I mean, and again, who knows what his home life was when his mom and dad were together, you know, I remember, you know, on a real quick note, I was locked up for a while, and while I was in there, I took this class, and the class was called,
can you tell them how long or no?
6 years, I was locked up for 6 years. And the class was called Quest for Authentic Manhood. And I remember in that class, one of the first things we said in the little orientation in that class was they were just reading off statistics on kids or the crime rate in America and of people who had absent fathers or a dysfunctional family, or, you know, their father was a drinker, wouldn't listen to them, really wasn't involved in their life, neglect or whatever the case may be. And I mean, the numbers were just crazy, bro. I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something to the effect of like, you're twice as likely to commit suicide, three times as likely to go to prison, you know, twice as likely to commit murder. And then they were speaking about how males in the United States are responsible for 100% of the rapes, 99% of the murders, 95% of the aggravated robberies. I mean, they're just, you know, reading off the statistics. And I think gangs, and you know, when you hear about rap, when you hear about gangs and stuff like that, if you don't have that father that is really reinforcing to you your identity and who you should be as a man and how you should orient yourself to the world as a man, if your dad really isn't enforcing that, it's very hard for a mom to do that. It's really hard for a mom to do that. And especially if you have a dad and then he passes away and then you see your mom doing that, you know, it makes you just want to flip a switch, you know. And I mean, he might have been seeking to you know, to get together with a group where loyalty was a real thing, you know, and gangs seem to exude that in the way that they are, that they're really loyal to each other. You know, there's like this code of honor, you know, and that, you know, they seem bold, they seem courageous. I mean, there's a lot of things to be desired in that group of people, and you know, you're definitely right. That might have been what it was.
Yeah, I felt bad. Well, I mean, of course, I don't feel bad, right? The dude fucking was killing like his fucking. Bro, imagine like, you spilled my drink.
It was Grand Theft Auto, right? For
real. He's like, oh, you're going to fucking die today. Imagine being his friend, bro. Be like, hey, what's up, little friend? He's like, all right, putting the gun away. He's like, all right, you're good. And it's, bro, I don't know, man. The whole thing was crazy. Like, I don't know. I remember when Aaron Hernandez died and then he killed himself. And it's funny, bro, because I posted... It was things that look good hanging, right? And it was like a shirt and it was some stupid shit, right? This one, when it first happened, I was dumb. I mean, I still am, right? But, and this girl went off on me, bro, on my post. She's like, that's not fucking funny. And, suicide is not a joke. And I guess the way I didn't give a fuck about it is because what he did, right? This dude killed like four guys for no fucking reason. Like, I didn't have any sympathy for this guy. Like, I get it, right? He was fucked up. Like, it's not, I guess, not his fault. But I mean, you're still a grown man, you know. You can make those decisions on your own. Like people just don't kill. I think if you're already fucked up in the head, you're already fucked up in the head. If you're gonna kill, you're gonna kill. Just like the whole gun laws and shit like that. They want to fucking take them away from people, right? They want to take guns away from people because they want to stop fucking mass shootings and shit like that. But I feel like, you think those people get them, even if they get them legally, like, they're gonna fucking get them, you know? Yeah. Like, these thugs on the street and shit, they're fucking, they're still gonna get the goddamn gun whether they get it legally or not. Like, taking away ain't gonna do shit, just piss people off and that's it. Like, that, you saw that shooting that was at that church?
The one in Texas?
Yeah.
Where the parishioners of the church shot the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking Texas right there, bro. And I feel like, see, like, there's good people out there, man. So why the fuck would people want to take that away? You know, because not everyone, just because you have a gun doesn't mean you're going to wake up one day and be like, okay, I'm going to go fucking shoot up a school. No, it doesn't work that like that, you know? Like, you have to be mentally fucked up to actually, be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking go today. I already bought all my ammo and we're going to go fucking light this bitch up, you know? Like, yeah. you have to be like that. And I guess people think, no. If you have a gun, you can just fucking go. And it's going back to a mental thing, bro. It's fucked up. Like, you have to be fucked up to do that. Like, you can be pissed off as much as you want, bro. But to have that, like, killer mentality, like, it has to be, like, something wrong with you. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely right on that note. I mean, the Second Amendment gives us the right to bear arms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think the advantages of that right to bear arms far outweigh the disadvantages, you know. And I mean, you're exactly right. If somebody wants to kill people, you know, look at the Oklahoma bomber, for example. I mean, it might be better that they get their hand on a gun that only has one or two or three clips in it that, you know, they can use, as opposed to them not having a gun and them trying to think and think of a way on where they could hurt a lot of people. And then, I mean, you have people that are getting vans and they're running over crowds of people. You have people, I mean you can create a bomb. I mean, if you want to kill people, you're gonna find a way to kill people, and that's the end of that. But, you know, back to, you know, the Aaron Hernandez thing, what you were saying,
I don't know if you know.
Hernandez, not Hernandez.
Hernandez. We're not too many miles from Mexico. It's Hernandez down here.
They're like, what the hell?
There's an H in that name. Did you not know that? I don't know what you're saying.
What the fuck?
Yeah, bro. Did you know that? Okay, so according to psychologists, the male mind doesn't fully mature till the age of 25. Did you hear that?
Cher actually tells me that all the time, right? Because she got pregnant young, right? And then she's like, oh, well, it's because girls have a... Yeah, they're my mind was... how'd you say it? Yeah, like they have a better... What the fuck am I looking for?
Like they're more developed.
They're mentally developed younger, and I was. She always fucking tells me that. So yeah, that's how I know that.
I mean, how old was Aaron Hernandez when all this happened?
He was 24, I think. 24, I think that's what he said.
Yeah, and I remember reading an article in Psychology Today where I read that, and I was kind of blown away because again, I was in jail at this time, and I caught my charge at 21, and. You know, when you're in a court of law, they bring all these factors. I mean, it seems like these lawyers want to bring up every little detail of the situation in order so that they can, you know, sentence you to the sentence that's just for you to deserve. And, you know, it's crazy how they don't bring up that, you know, the male mind doesn't mature until 24. Now, add to the fact that Aaron Hernandez was a multimillionaire. Add to the fact that he had the financial ability to do whatever he wanted and have access to almost whatever he wanted, you know, and then he's going to clubs. And they, in that same article, it said that if you're using, you know, substances, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol, it actually can delay your mental maturity to farther into your 30s. And I mean, I guess we see that with people who are still addicted to drugs. You know, we see examples of that every day that are well into their 30s, 40s, and 50s and still act like children. Because they seem to have not mentally fully matured. But, I mean, so that's giving Aaron Hernandez a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But you're absolutely right that when you take someone's life, it doesn't justify anything. And that by that age, you certainly know that what you're doing for sure is wrong. And even though you might not understand 100% the full ramifications of your actions, like maybe he didn't think that, man, I'm taking someone's brother, son. If this guy has children, the children are never going to grow up with your dad. Like when I was 21, I didn't think of those things. I thought like, man, if I kill this dude, it's serious. Like I know that, but I didn't think, especially being a father today, how it affects the children. Like I could not conceptualize that at the age of 21, 22, 23.
Yeah. And you don't think about that shit. You know, you think like just about you know, like, okay, like I guess like if I take this guy's life, that's it, you know, because I'm pissed off, I'm fucking this, I'm doing that or whatever, but yeah, I'm taking his life away. It's wow, man. But I think too, like, his brain was it was fucked, bro. It was bad, man.
And I mean, on that note, I feel like that's where there's a responsibility by the people that are father figures, uncle figures, friend figures in your life for them to step in and try to do more. I mean, did you see in that same documentary where it said that the New England Patriots organization, that it kind of seemed like their stance towards it, what they kind of wanted to just, you know, turn a blind eye and deaf ear to what Aaron Hernandez was doing on his own time, yeah. You know, because they said that he was kind of like the what is the word they use for it? He was like the ideal athlete when he was in the
poster child.
Yeah, he was a poster child when he was in the locker room and on the field and all those things. But it seemed like to some extent they knew what was going on behind the doors because they had the organization's realtor get him this other apartment so he can, I don't know if they knew that he,
hideout,
you know,
or whatever.
Yeah, his little hideout spot, you know. And I mean, in that situation, again, I mean, us as society, you know, we have a responsibility to each other, not just to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to people like that, you know. And I feel like if they would have cared a little bit more or done a little bit more. And again, I don't know the exact situation, and I'm not judging the New England Patriots, you know, because again, I don't know. But I'm just speaking hypothetically or in theory. You know, if somebody would have stepped in and said, hey, Aaron, you know, what's going on? You know, I care about you, you know, and I care about you a little bit more just beyond this football organization, just beyond this professional relationship. I want to know, man, I know you've gone through some things. I know you lost your dad. You know what I mean? Hey, I lost an uncle. Or I lost a grandpa or whatever. I know what it feels to go through that. Like, man, I just want you to know I'm here. I can, you know, you can talk to me. I mean, who knows what that may have done in his life, you know?
Yeah, but I think that... I don't know, man. It's the Patriots, bro. They always have fucking shit going on for them. Like, fuck the Robert Kraft, bro. He was he had like a fucking prostitution ring going on. Like, and I think it has to do with the money, bro.
Was
like,
that him?
Yeah, that's the same owner.
Robert. At the Tutti Frutti or in Miami, the Florida, that was him?
I don't know. I don't know where it happened, but it was a big-ass investigation, bro. He the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, he had, like, this whole fucking prostitution ring. And
that's right.
Yep. So, and I think, bro, it's just about the money with them. Because, like you said, like, shit could have been prevented. They could have gotten the help. His agent should have fucking stepped up and be like, hey, because... An agent, like, they check in with you. You know, they go and be like, hey, what are we going to do? What's our next move? And shit like that, bro. They have to, bro. They have to know. Like, hey, Aaron, where are you at? What are you doing? Shit like that. You know, like, they even said, bro, the people he was hanging out with, they were not athletes. Like, NFL players hang out with NFL players, you know? Of course, they have, like, their family members and friends outside. But they know what the fuck. Because they said that they didn't know what Aaron Hernandez was doing. You know, they didn't know what the fuck was going on. But it's because they didn't care. They just like, okay, just show up. Whatever you do is fine. Like you said, they're just fucking like a blind eye. And I think it has to do with money, bro, straight up. Like, they don't care as long as they're fucking making money. Like, it is what it is. That's why Antonio Brown's being all fucked up right now too, bro. His agent dropped him. And it was funny, man, because Cheryl was saying like, hey, I told him, I was like, bro, how is this agent still with this guy? Like, this AB, you know, like, the whole situation with AB, right? He got cut by the Steelers. He got picked up by the Raiders. And then the Raiders cut him, and then he got picked up by the fucking New England Patriots. And then this was big for New England. Like, they didn't want any more fucking sex scandals going on, so they cut Antonio Brown. And then all season, bro, he was just coming. He went to try out with the New Orleans Saints, and he made like this whole fucking media, bro. He brought his own like cameras, his own personnel and shit, bro, just for a tryout, you know?
Yeah.
And then he was on the phone talking to his agent, saying, fuck that, man. Like, I'm in shape. What do I gotta go show up for? Like, do they want me or not? Like, and his agent was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I do think Antonio Brown's brain is fucked up too, man, just like Aaron. And he's going down that same path, bro. Like, I'm not saying maybe he's gonna kill people, but he just got arrested yesterday, 2 days ago, or I think it was today, actually, for the aggravated assault and battery on some guy delivering fucking, I don't know what he was delivering, but delivering something to Antonio Brown's house, and Antonio Brown didn't want to pay, and so he fucking beat up the guy, and he took shit out of the truck, and he was throwing it out, and I feel like there's levels to it, you know?
Yeah.
And who's helping him out, man? And then, like, there's a video where Antonio Brown's filming his baby mama. And, bro, I felt bad, man, because he's yelling at the baby mama, you fucking hoe, you fucking bitch, you just want me for my money and this and that, right? And then the son, he just walks by, right? He's like, oh, I love you, daddy. And he's like, I love you, too. Go with that bitch-ass hoe and shit like that, right? And it makes you... And then there's his boys are in the back, bro. They're like, yeah, fuck that bitch. Like, yeah, like, she's a hoe and shit like that, you know? And it's like, who the fuck are those guys? And why the fuck are they not trying to fucking stop this guy? Of course, maybe they're just riding the wave, right? They're like, okay, this guy got money, he could fucking take us wherever, we go on flights with him to fucking Cali or whatever, you know, because they're from Florida. So it's just crazy, man. I feel like this guy's doing the same shit that Aaron Hernandez was doing, man. Like, it's like, how I don't know, man. Like, but what can you tell him? Like, he's rich, right? And he was telling these cops, like, you fucking broke-ass bums. Like, you wish you were me. Like, you wish you could take me on, you fucking racist cracker. While the black guy, the black fucking cop was like, huh? What do you mean I'm racist? But it's wild, man. I don't know what. Like, it's and he doesn't see it, bro. He legit thinks the world's out to get him. Like, he has posts, bro, where he's saying the NFL is against black guys. Because of all the shit that he's done, and the NFL doesn't want to let him back into the league, he thinks it's because he's black. Like, that's his fucking mentality, bro. And I feel like that's why the whole fucking Black Lives Matter movement and all that shit like that, it's just going back to, like, the fucking, the feminists, bro. It's like, they're gonna take you as a joke because this guy really thinks it's because he's black. It's like, bro, it's not because you're black. It's because all the stupid fucking shit that you've done. And it's, I don't know, man, but how do you tell somebody, like, hey, you're fucking retarded, you need to get help? Like, the judge ordered him to get help, but I think his lawyers are saying, no, he's mentally fine. It's just that they're overcharging him for all this stuff. Like, that's what they said. Like, that the judge is overcharging.
Well, I mean, as a wise, very wise man once said, you need to take ownership, I believe, is the answer to that. But that's actually Jocko Willink. I'll reference his name on this. You know who that is? The Navy SEAL.
Sounds like a hockey player.
No, he's an ex-Navy SEAL. But either way, you know, as an individual, at some point, you got to take ownership. You got to take ownership.
How do you get someone who's made it to the top? You know, and he has all this money and it's by himself because it's him being that athlete. So how do you tell him, like, hey, bro, you need to fucking get your shit together, you know?
The way you tell them is, as, and you really got to mean it, because you can't just say it in this, you know, timid tone of voice that you don't really mean it. You really got to mean it from the heart. And it's true. And I mean, I feel this way that, you know, you just, no matter who you are and how much you've achieved or how much you got or whether you're self-made or whatever it is, wherever you're at this point in your life, you cannot just, you know, go around and act some type of way where you're hurting other people. You're infringing upon the rights of other people. You know what I mean? You're disrespecting, you're dishonoring other type of people in the way that you're behaving towards society. And just because you've come to this point, it's not okay, you know, and maybe somebody should have done that. Again, taking ownership, you know, if the individual then does it, then the individuals around them need to do it. And if they're not doing it, then they're definitely enabling this individual, because we know that people, when they're in these types of situations, it's almost like a drug addict, you know, when you enable that person, like they become really blind. You know, they're not fully blind, but in some way and extent, they're blind to really exactly what they're doing and the profoundness of how they're affecting and hurting other people. You know, like you said, what he said in front of his children to his wife or his baby's mother. I don't know exact the situation, but, you know, go with your whole mother or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like, go with that whole bitch and, like, the kids, like, and, bro, you can tell, like, they argue all the time, bro, because the baby was just like, bro, that he was just, he was like a little 5 or 6 year old. Like he said, like, he, of course, he could speak, right? He was like, I love you, daddy. And then he was like, I love you too. I go with that bitch asshole. And he was just there, like, laughing and smiling, and then just followed her into the cop car. And it's like, bro, like, that kid is gonna grow up to think it's okay. It's a fucking bad trend that he's starting. But like I said, man, I feel like he's just gonna have to hit rock bottom, bro, where he's gonna get like bad. Maybe do some time and he'll figure it out. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate situation about not having people around you that bring accountability. You know, there's a verse in the Bible in Proverbs that says, harsh blows from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy, you know. And, you know, it seems like in society that people aren't concerned enough to just really stand up to a person and be like, I care about you enough that I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Whether you hit me, slap me, get mad at me, I don't care. I have to say it. It has to be said that you're ultimately wrong, and just say it in a strong and bold enough way that person is really going to sense like, man, this guy isn't playing. Because, you know, fakeness can be sensed just like a dog. You know, a dog can sense when you're afraid, and you may put on this persona that you're not afraid, but if they sense it, they're still going to attack, and it's like that. But if you're not afraid, they really sense that you're serious, and, you know, the whole mood changed, and, you know, maybe that's what Antonio Brown needed, and unfortunately, since he didn't have it, that exactly what you said is going to happen. You know, when the chips fall, they're all going to fall at the same time, and when it hits the fan, it's like, man, that's it. Like, your career is over, you know. And there's this, there's a quote by Jordan Peterson I really like, and he says, you know, you really need to think about the ideal person that you want to be, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he says you should really think about the ideal person that you want to be. And when you have that ideal in your mind, you should take steps and set goals every single day to reach that ideal. Because if you don't do that, then you fail every day. And you might say, well, I don't want to know that I'm failing every day. And that's fair enough. But then the thing is that then you fail every day without knowing it. And the bad thing is that sooner or later, you fail so bad that there's no recovering from that. And that could easily happen by the time you're 40 years old. And it's a really sad thing.
Yeah. And I think too, man, like, you can't tell somebody, though, how to feel or what you're doing wrong. Because it's just modern day society, bro. You can't tell someone anything because they're like, why? You don't know what it's like being me, or I'm going through this, I'm going through that. You know, it's crazy, bro. Like, it's crazy how out of sync or people have gone, or what's the word I'm looking for? It's just, you can't tell anyone anything because you're judging them, you know? Like the whole Lizzo thing. I don't know if you read about it.
Yeah.
That Jillian girl, she told her, like, hey, why are we talking about her body weight? Like, when we talk about her music, you know, because I like her music. And she's like, because we're not going to be talking about her when she's diabetic and when she's dead or whatever. And people saying she was fat shaming her. And I just think, what the fuck? Like, Lizzo, she's trying to make it okay to be obese and be fat. And it's not, like scientifically, it's not okay. You know, you can't, I don't want my kid growing up being obese or being out of shape or unhealthy. You know, it's just, she was saying it through like a healthy aspect. You know, like I want her to be healthy. Like I want her to get help, but they're fucking getting mad at her because she's fat shaming her. Like she's body shaming her. You know, so imagine her going up to her and be like, hey, like I can get you the help. I really think you're obese because this fucking chick is huge, right?
Yeah, like clinically she is, right?
Yes, but you can't tell her because then the way society is like, no, you can't tell me nothing because I'm perfect the way I am. It's like, it's cool. Like, you like your body, that's fine. But you're gonna fucking die young. You're not gonna be able to do anything. You know, you can't even fucking go up a flight of stairs because you're gonna fucking fall halfway down and come and die, you know? Like, it's just simple shit that people want you to do. Or like, she doesn't think about her family, you know? You don't think her family's concerned, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Antonio Brown. Like, how do you tell someone they're wrong, especially in today's society? Because no matter what, if you're trying to do right, if you try to tell someone how to be, you're wrong. You get me? Like, no matter what, you're fucked, bro. It's stupid. I think it's fucking retarded. I think this country has gone soft. Like, you can't tell anyone anything without their feelings getting hurt.
Yeah.
And it sucks, man. But you have to. People have to fucking be straight up with you to get shit done. And if it doesn't work like that, then nothing's ever gonna get done. This bitch is gonna be fucking fatter and fatter. She's gonna be so fat she can't even sing no more. And then there goes her fucking paychecks. Like, it's bad, bro. Maybe she's gonna be an opera singer. I don't know. But it's fucking bad. It's bad, dude. Like, I don't know why we've gotten to that point. But it's crazy. I don't know where it happened. But that's where we're at now, man. You can't. And it's bad. Like, how do you tell them? Like, what would you do without her getting pissed or you not body shaming her? That's what they said.
I don't try to tell people what to do, but
well, let's say your son, right, or your daughter. Let's say they became obese, and how do you tell them without them getting mad? Because then, in today's society, if you tell them something, you're body shaming them, so you're the asshole.
Well, it depends on what age they're at, but let's say in what Lizzo, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say in Lizzo's situation, they already get to the point of adulthood. I mean, if it was me, my son growing him up, I'm pretty much going to make sure that their diet and their lifestyle is that of a healthy lifestyle. Because when you're a young person, you don't really, again, you can't fully conceptualize consequences. Like, you can't. That's why people need authority figures in their life, because they can't conceptualize consequences. So I would raise them that way. But let's say they got to adulthood where they can choose to do what they want and they choose an unhealthy lifestyle. Well, by then they should already know what's right. But let's theorize that they don't know. If for whatever reason I wasn't there and they don't know what's healthy, all I can do is tell them what the right way to go is and they can listen. Now, you know, let's talk about a psychiatrist and a therapeutic relationship, right? And I'll use this example because there's this guy, I forgot his name. I need to think of his name and I'll talk about it later. But there's a clinical psychologist, and he says that whenever you enter into a therapeutic relationship, one of the prerequisites that needs to be established is that both of y'all need to be willing to enter into this relationship, and you want the best from each other. The person really wants to have to change and get somewhere, and you as a psychiatrist really want to help them, and that has to be one of the prerequisites of the relationship. If that's not an understanding, then there's nothing you can do, and that's what he states. There's nothing you can do to help this person. So then the question becomes, well, what do I do at this point to help this person? Well, the best thing you can do is orient yourself in such a way in your own lifestyle that you're such a good example of what it is to be a healthy person that one day the light switch will flip on in their head and they'll be like, you know what, this guy's lifestyle looks so good and this example, like, I want to be like that, you know? I mean, unfortunately, that's all you can do for a person that really wants to choose that lifestyle. And it's unfortunate that the common consensus in the culture just reinforces this narrative. Like you said, it's a very common narrative that, you know, you're okay the way you are and don't let anybody tell you that you're not okay the way you are. But when society has proved over and over again that really, when it really comes down to it, society really doesn't care. They don't really give a dang what ultimately happens to you. We see that and again, I don't know the details, but it seems to be the situation in the New England Patriots organization. It seems to be the situation over and over again where these people are telling you, hey, you know, don't do anything too crazy. Don't go out and murder somebody, but, you know, you're all right the way you are, you know. And have not we proved it over again that that's just not the case? You're not okay the way you are, and you're right. You need voices nowadays that are really going to stand up and say you're not the way you're okay the way you are. And when an individual really thinks about it, people know deep down, you know there's something wrong with you.
She has to know, like, hey, I'm obese. Hey, I can't. Like I said, I can't. Like, she has to tell herself, like, fuck, I gotta get up those goddamn stairs to go and get on stage, you know? Like,
yeah, but then when you got society telling you, no, you're not, and then, you know, they give you, I don't know what they give you. They could give you commercial contracts, and now you got a, I don't know, modeling contracts, and now you're walking stages, and just society is just so strongly reinforcing the fact that you are okay. Then maybe, and that's, a very strong psychology, then maybe you start to think, you know, maybe I'm not so bad. Now I'm making money off of this body. You know, look at me now. You know what I mean?
And I think that's all social media, bro. Like, it's all like people will be like, especially if like, let's say teenage girls, right? That's kind of like high school girls. I feel like that's where they're at that state. They're kind of like, hey, you know, Lizzo, she's fucking showing off her body. She's making money off of it. Like, I'm already chubby. Why not just get a little bit bigger, you know, so I can make money off of it, you know? So they're kind of like on the edge, but they see this and they're like, okay, cool. But then it's like you said, man, like, they got to see the example, right? Because then they could also see a fucking fitness model and then be like, you know what? That's what I want to do. She's living a better lifestyle and shit like that. It goes back to, I guess, who they influence, right? Whoever they get influenced by. I guess that's where they'll fucking, like, lean over to that side or what, but it's wild, man. It's social media, right? That's where it has to fucking come from.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, you're talking about it's whatever influences them more, and it seems like the, you know, the strongest influence today is just whatever gets the most likes. It's really almost as simple as that, you know? Whatever gets the most likes, that's the best way to go, and that's whatever, you know, gets me the most attention, makes me the most money. It seems to be that. And that's the best way to go.
Yeah, and you can't. I guess you can't blame them, right? But I guess people gotta realize too. Like, you ain't gonna fucking make money. You know, she just happens to be a good fucking singer too. You know,
yeah.
She'll get that money off on the side, but they don't think about that shit. Like, okay, they didn't think about all those nights she stayed up working in the studio. Like, people, she didn't get fucking famous because she was fat. You know, she got famous because of her voice, which people hear. Everyone's heard her songs. But I think they're just gonna go with that. Like, okay, she's already fat. I could be fat too. It's okay. And she's gonna make it okay. So it's like, hey, I'm fat. You know, hey, be like me. But it's like, no, you didn't fucking get famous because you were fat. You got famous because of your voice. So don't. But she won't say that either. You know, she won't put that out there. She won't be like, hey, before you get fat and be okay, make sure you have a backup plan. You know, because she's fucking up a bunch of people right now. She doesn't realize it. Like, and I'm not saying fucking you're fat. You're ugly. You're disgusting. You should stop. I'm just saying. It's not healthy, you know? She's not doing anybody any justice by saying it's okay. Like, it's I wouldn't want my kids to be obese like that, because it's bad, you know? Like, she's fucking retarded, man.
Yeah, and
you can't say shit either, man, because you're the asshole.
And I mean, you're right. We as a society, we really need to start rethinking, you know, what's the message that we're sending to our younger generations, you know? Because, I mean, that's where the religious types, you know, get those concepts that, you know, what is it to gain the world and lose your soul? And you know, that's where we get those catchphrases, you know, you sold your soul to the devil, or you sold your soul for a jelly roll, you know what I mean? And everything that glitters isn't gold, you know. I mean, that's where we get those phrases from, bro. And that's what they are, you know.
What was that?
You sold your soul for a jelly roll, you know.
What's a jelly roll?
A jelly roll is a little donut, you know. You know, I mean, you know, you sold your soul for a moment of gratification, and you know, that's what we're doing. You know, we're selling our souls for what gets the most likes and what gets us the most gratification. And in the moment, we don't really think about it, because it all happens so quickly. The money comes in so quickly. Everybody gives us all the attention and everything that we want, all the social reinforcement and all the confidence that we could need in a moment. And then all of a sudden, something goes wrong and it's all gone. You know what I mean? And then when you look back, and after everything is gone, you know, I mean, this is what they say happened to Elvis Presley. They say it wasn't the drugs that killed him. It was the fame that killed him, because when it all started to go away, when you're at your home and when you're in your room by yourself, those demons, they come back to haunt you, you know, after you've sold your soul to the devil, and you start to think, who are you, you know? And they start talking, bro, you're just a fraud. You're nothing without the fame. You're nobody. Look, they're all leaving you. I mean, who can only knows? And I mean, we've seen this time and time again with people that are famous, the ones that commit suicide. And again, you know, it's a really unfortunate situation. But the thing is, guys, you know, that we got to ask ourselves, what message are we sending to society and to our young people as a whole? Again, they're not mentally mature. And we're just sending out these messages that are reinforcing the fact that whatever gets you the most money and the most likes, that's the good thing to do. But no, you know, that'll kill you in the end. You know, it's kind of like, you know, fattening the pig for the slaughter. You're giving them all this food and they're getting all fat, you know, and that's almost like the demonic strategy or the devil's strategy in the whole thing, is that he'll give you whatever you want until you're now ripe, fat, and plump, and then he'll take you out, you know? Yeah. He'll take you out, you know?
We're gonna fucking stop this goddamn trend. Just watch us, man. We're gonna fucking... Lizzo, you are gonna be skinzo. Skinnyzo. No, that was stupid. Son of a bitch. Yeah, man. That was... I thought it sounded better in my head, man. Fucking hashtags. Ugh, we'll figure it out, man. Whatever.
Skinzo to the benzo. Skinzo to the bone. Not that skinny,
but... Skinzo to the benzo. Oh, that's funny, man. Yeah, it's fucking... Damn, we talked about a lot of good shit today, man. We didn't even talk about, real quick, NFL picks, right? I just want to... Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? It's the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's going to be... I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, me too. I want them to win. I think the 49ers are a little bit more well-rounded. They have a good defense with Bosa. And then they got a good offense, man, because they got fucking Kittle and they got Garoppolo. But I don't know. I want the fucking Chiefs to win, man. Patrick Mahomes, I feel like he deserves it, because ever since Lamar Jackson came into the league, they totally forgot about Patrick Mahomes, man. They fucking counted him out, and they were so fucking obsessed with Lamar Jackson, and this guy's fucking 0-2 or 0-3 in the playoffs.
I mean, what they did with the Houston Texans was just, right? Wow. That was astronomical. Yeah. Like, what was it? They came back from a, what, 24-point deficit in 5 minutes? Or what was it?
Yeah, and I think the point difference was like, and I think in those two games was like 70, the points, it was like 71 to like 18 or 10 or some shit like that. That's how much they outscored their opponents by in those two games. And it's like, what the fuck? Because they started off slow against the Titans too, and then they fucking pulled away. It was wild, bro. No one saw that coming, right? It's like, who the fuck? And yeah, I hope they win, man. I think the fucking 49ers are gonna win, but I really, really want the fucking Kansas City Chiefs to win, man. But
I mean, it's like you said, if the Chiefs come out in the first half and they do not let what they let happen with the Texans and the Titans happen in those first couple of quarters where they kind of just pull away like that, I don't think you can let that happen with the Niners. But if they do not let that happen, I definitely believe they're gonna take it.
Yeah, but I guess, when's the game? Let me see. I think it's on the 2nd, right? Let me see. And by the way, guys, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. We had a real shitty year, so we don't talk about them. Where the fuck is he at?
Man, you have like 100 apps in your phone, bro.
No, it's because I condensed them, man. Where the... Do you see it?
No.
Right here. NFL app. My bad. I know. Yeah, it looks like... No, Super Bowl. I think it's on the 2nd, bro. It's on the 2nd. Yeah, Sunday is on the 2nd, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll be here. We'll have another podcast before then. Yeah, man. You know, we talked about a lot of good shit. Hopefully, you guys stick with us. Trey promised. He said I promised I put my kids on this, right?
Yeah.
All right. He said it here. Yeah. We'll get together at least once a week, man, and we'll just talk about everything going on. There's still a lot of shit that we could talk about, but it's already been an hour, man. So, yeah. I guess thank you guys for listening, hearing our fucking thoughts, you know. And stay tuned, guys, because shit's about to get real in the next year.
All right, guys. Take care. I'm out.